Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What is going on, crafters? Welcome back to another episode of Dig Straight Down with me, your host, Rebel JC. If this is your first time tuning into Dig Straight Down, I want to welcome you here. This is a podcast all about Minecraft updates, whether those are updates that are actually coming to the game, such as Minecraft 1.21 with all those new delicious features, such as the Trial Chambers, the breeze, the wind charge, the crafter, the copper bulb. A lot of those things are so cool. I'm so happy they're coming to the game. But we also talk about updates that we would like to see come to the game, such as the end update, such as the combat update, things that we are creating in our own imaginations for the future of the game because we think, hey, this particular idea would be really, really cool to see happen in a future update. So we talk about those things as well. And if either of those aspects of Minecraft are interesting to you at all, if you're a Minecraft fan and you spend a lot of time thinking, man, I really like the way that Minecraft is headed in the updates that's happening, or I think that it needs to go a different way, and here are my opinions on that. If that's the kind of player you are with Minecraft, then you're in the right place. This is the podcast for you. And if you are enjoying what you hear in this podcast, I want to encourage you to subscribe to it in whatever platform you're listening to it on, whether that's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, what have you. If you would subscribe to it, follow it, and maybe even share it with a friend who you think would also enjoy it. I would love to see more people join the community and maybe even join up on the Discord. The link is in the description of this episode. If you want to chat with other people who listen to the show and like Minecraft, then go ahead and do that. The link is in the description of this episode. Let's kick this episode off with the Q&A segment. The Q&A segment is the segment in which I turn the spotlight on you guys, the listeners, featuring your creativity and your opinions on various aspects of Minecraft. A few episodes ago, I asked you guys, do you think that being able to control most, if not everything, in a Minecraft world is important for playing Minecraft? There's a lot of different opinions on this out there. A lot of people say no, we want a limited scope of the things that we can manipulate in the game. We like the randomness, we like the risk that we can take there. Then there are other people on the other side who say no, because Minecraft is a sandbox game, we should be able to do whatever we want to in the game. We should be able to control everything. So there's a lot of ideas out there, a lot of discourse on this, and I think Mojang actually tends to favor the side of saying, no, we can't control everything, but they are reasonable and they do give us some tools with which to manipulate certain aspects of the world we play in. But I want to hear what you guys had to say. Heathy Keithy said, no, I think let stuff happen because it's just nature, even if it's a game. So yeah, things happen in your game that you know, make it a game. If the game didn't have any challenges, it would not be any fun. So I absolutely agree. Energy Turtle says, no, you would be too powerful. It would just end up being creative mode version 2.0. Yeah, if you are able to absolutely control every aspect of the game and manipulate everything, it would be, you know, just creative mode. James says, yes and no. In creative, it makes sense. but it doesn't for survival. And I like this balanced approach because survival, you do want that challenge. You want there to be threats in the game that you have to compensate for and you have to adapt to. But in creative mode, that's not why you're playing. You're playing to actually change the world. And so the more things you can control about the world, the better. And I like that approach. Lizzie says, yes, because if you're in a hardcore world, it would be easier to not lose your world. I'm sure hardcore players, you know, would love to be able to manipulate everything about their world, but it might take the spirit of playing hardcore out of that. Kepler says, no, there should always be some adversity to keep things interesting. But on the other hand, Anna says, yes, because Minecraft is supposed to be an open free play game. So you see, those are the two main ideas out there most of the time. Anselm says, no, even though I like the sandbox nature of Minecraft, I don't think you should be able to control everything unless you are in creative. Torben says, maybe late game, but we should rely more on living with the elements than against them. Complete control removes the sense of survival. You feel more like a demigod if you have total control. Yeah, I agree with this point. It's like maybe in late game there can be more things that you can control about the world, but in the general game, I don't think that would be a good idea. Omega Godzilla says, I'd say no. Part of the fun of playing the game is interacting with the world and adapting to changes. I know this is an unpopular opinion in the community, but I think Minecraft is more fun with uncontrollable natural challenges as it makes the game more exciting. And again, yeah, those uncontrollable natural challenges that reflect what we actually encounter in real life. And I feel like that's one of the reasons why games are so powerful is because they reflect real life in a deeper way than, of course, you know, we have floating dirt in Minecraft. That doesn't reflect real life. But, you know, at the heart of the game, it's all about overcoming challenges and building something out of the wilderness. And I feel like that you can draw some parallels there to real life and our experiences. No matter what the challenges we face, there's a lot of opportunity for us to build something really great out of those challenges. And I think that's one of the beautiful parts about Minecraft. And finally, Silver says, kinda. I mean, as a sandbox game, I think having control over almost everything is its biggest strength, not to mention the modding potential it serves. But the game also has its benefits without being a typical sandbox. So Minecraft being a sandbox game makes this an interesting discussion. And I feel like I would like sandbox, like that term, to be defined for Minecraft. Because if you just take an actual sandbox, you know, you're going into a sandbox and you're just playing in a sandbox. You can't control everything about that sandbox. You can't control the amount of sand, you know, as a kid, the amount of sand you have to play with. You can't control the kind of sand you have to play with. You can't make the sand float. So you obviously have to work with real world physics. So you're still working in constraints. And so does a sandbox game mean that it has no constraints? Or does it mean that it has a few constraints that are very general and easy to work within? And I feel like Minecraft really fits into that second definition that, you know, in the most free play style of playing it, so like for creative mode with commands enabled and maybe some mods and all that, you don't have just a ton of constraints, but you have just enough to keep it fun. But in survival, of course, you take a lot, you have so many more constraints that you have to work with. And that's why so many people love playing survival, just because it's because of the challenge. And so I think it's a great discussion to have. And again, I feel like Mojang generally takes a balanced approach. They understand that there's people who play and want to make maps for other people to play through and things like that, that, you know, you want a little bit more control over. But a survival player probably shouldn't be able to manipulate the weather. You know, that kind of thing is reserved for more, you know, creative gameplay than survival gameplay. So a balanced approach is probably the best one. Well, thank you guys for these opinions and ideas. And if you would like your thoughts to be read out on an upcoming episode, go to this episode on Spotify and you can interact with the Q&A post there, or you can do so on the Discord. Again, the link is in the description. I have a whole channel on the Discord dedicated to the Q&A section. So go to that if you want to participate in the Q&A discussion. And yeah, I'll do my best to read out as many of those as I can in a future episode.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
All right, guys, speaking of the Discord, again, it's in the description of this episode. You can go and click that link and you can join in the discussions. There's a lot of fun discussions being had about Minecraft, about the podcast, even challenges that are being had on the Discord that are Discord exclusive. If you want to get on there and you want to say, hey, guys, do you want to do a one weapon challenge, you know, similar to how I do the one block challenge here on podcast, you are absolutely free to do so. And it organized those challenges there. A lot of people have been doing that lately, and it's been fun seeing that happen. So if you want to go in there and join up or even start one of your own, feel free to join the Discord. The link is in the description, and I feel like people would have a lot of fun doing that. Speaking of the one block challenge, guys, this week's theme is crouching. And if you want a refresher on what the challenge is, and how to take part in it, the description has all of those details. So go to the description and take a look at that. Basically, the One Block Challenge is a weekly challenge that I give to my listeners, giving them the opportunity to create a block for Minecraft based on a theme. And I pick three winners and I read them out on a Friday episode. So it's just a fun little challenge that we do here on the podcast. And I've had a lot of fun doing it. And I think a lot of people enjoy sending me their ideas. I know I enjoy reading them. And yeah, I can't wait to see yours. All right, let's get into the main discussion of this episode. We have some new stuff to talk about here in the form of a snapshot. 24W09A came out recently, last week. And brought some interesting changes. We're going to be talking about some of those changes and saving others for tomorrow's episode. So today we're going to talk about some changes to the Bogged particularly. So let's go over this post real quick and we'll get into that discussion. So the snapshot notes say, here is a slightly bigger than usual snapshot with a lot of technical changes, refreshed UI, and another iteration of Wolf Armor and tweaks to new features. Since the initial release of the Wolf Armor, we have been working on improving it to increase its protection, usability, and add customization. For protection, there is a new approach to armor, which considers the player's need to quickly see the state of the armor without using UI elements, and the ability to act quickly to help their pet wolf if needed. Please try it out and let us know what you think over at the feedback site. And they have a link to that as well. The experimental features for the Bogged now drops two mushrooms, either both red or brown or one of each, when sheared. And they've updated the Bogged texture and model. For the wind charge, they removed randomness from the radius of both breeze and player shot wind charges. For the vault, they had additional changes to the vault texture to even further distinguish it from trial spawners. There's been changes to wolf armor. The game's UI has been updated with a fresher look. Control picking a renamed block, such as a chest in creative mode, will now give a renamed item. For the wolf armor will protect the wolf from most damaged horses until the armor loses all durability and breaks. Wolf armor shows signs of increased breakage as durability goes down. Players can repair the wolf armor with armadillo scutes while it is equipped on the wolf. Wolf armor can be dyed in a similar fashion to leather armor. The wolf owner can now repair wolf armor on a wolf. For the UI has been updated to sport a fresher look and to be more consistent when it comes to the layout of different UI elements. all while retaining the essence and feel of the old screens. As always, we're eager to hear your thoughts, and they invite some feedback. And there's some notes here on how they've changed the UI. And from what I've seen, it looks really nice. It does look fresher. It looks cleaner. But they do have an option. If you're just missing the old one, you can always go into your resource pack, a data pack menu screen, and enable the programmer art, which will bring back the old visual features. But I do like the new one. I like the updated UI. It looks cleaner and fresher and sleeker. And I think that I will be using that one from now on. Then after that, there's a bunch of boring technical changes. I'm not going into that. If you want the full notes of all of the snapshot, the link is going to be in the description of this episode. You can check it out for yourself. And we are going to save the discussion about Wolf Armor for tomorrow's episode. There's a lot to be said there. I'm generally very happy about the changes to Wolf Armor, and I like it a lot. But again, we're going to save that discussion for tomorrow. Today, we're going to be talking about The Bogged. Now, if you're unfamiliar, if you weren't keeping up the news, The Bogged is a new variant of the skeleton. It spawns in the trial spawners in the trial chambers, but it also spawns in the swamp and mangrove swamps. It is essentially a greener, mossier skeleton that shoots poison arrows. Very cool looking, and has a lot of unique things about it that set it apart from the stray and the skeleton. And I like it a lot. So the changes that they made to The Bogged is that now The Bogged can drop two mushrooms, maybe both red, both brown, or one of each, when sheared. Okay, so that's interesting. They've also updated the Bogged texture and model. I like the new model and texture. But the greener bones of the old one were different and interesting. I kind of wish that they kept those green bones. I grew up in the country where there were random, you know, deer skeletons and maybe even cow bones in the woods, oftentimes in the creek, and they would be covered in green moss. So I felt that that gave it a sense of realism to this undead creature. But I liked it a lot, and I kind of wish that they brought that back, but it's okay if the white bones continue. The mushrooms sprouting out of the skull as a part of the new model, I like that. It's a fun detail. It actually gives you a hint as to how the skeleton might provide you those mushrooms. I will say that shearing the mushrooms off of the skeleton is very not intuitive at all. So I do wish that, and this is like an ongoing conversation. Actually, over on the Minecraft Lab podcast with the Troj and Meyer Thoughts, they've talked a lot about just intuitive gameplay in Minecraft and how it seems to be really, really lacking for a lot of features. And I agree with them completely. And this is going to be one of those things that I wish that they would change. I don't hate that you have to shear the mushrooms off of the skeleton to get them. What I don't like is that there's no reason for a new player to know that that's how you do it. It's the similar thing to using a brush on an armadillo to get the scoot. Like, why would you ever do that? And the other undead mobs in the game, they don't teach us, hey, here's a non-hostile way to interact with this hostile mob to get, their drop. You always kill them to get the drop. So what in the game is teaching the player, hey, don't kill that skeleton over there that bogged. Instead, go up to it and shear it with shears real quick. You know, like, there's nothing in the game that's teaching us to do that. And so that's one little detail I wish that they would change. Not that we shouldn't shear it off of the bogged, but that there should be something in the game to prompt us to do so. I know that we know that we have to do that because we pay attention to the news. But the majority of Minecraft players do not pay attention to the news. I would imagine that the millions and millions and millions of Minecraft players all around the world are not listening to the podcasts, are not following Mojang on YouTube or Twitter, and do not read Minecraft.net articles. So there's no reason for them to know this is what you're supposed to do, and I wish that there was just something in the game to prompt you to do that. That's all I'm going to say about that. I'll probably let the good guys at the lab go into that in more detail. But yeah, I think that should be changed. Speaking of mushrooms, it is a little weird to me. It is kind of gross. And I brought this up on Twitter that now you can, we're cutting fungus off of an undead corpse and, we can make a stew out of that. Like that's kind of gross to me. Like, I mean, I think it's really fun and cartoony, but it's just interesting that in Minecraft, you can make an entire meal out of dead. It's disgusting to say, but dead corpses like that. That's just the reality of the game that we're playing. It's very dark, actually, when you think about it. But hey, it's just a fun, cartoony, you know, dark humor kind of thing, I guess. We do in this, we have potential for a new farm, mushrooms and poison arrows. The way I see this working is that you have a spawning chamber, the bogged spawn in the spawning chamber. You carry them down past some dispensers that have shears in them to cut the, you know, to shear the mushrooms off of them as they pass. And then the bogged go down into a killing chamber and you kill them to get the poison arrows. A very interesting farm. I don't know how many people are going to be building this. The poison arrows are more exciting than the mushrooms, obviously. But it is a cool way that, we, you know, if you want a lot of mushrooms, this is a good way to farm them. And I guess for mushroom blocks, I don't remember if you can actually craft mushroom blocks out of mushrooms. If you can't, you should be able to. But otherwise, this would be a good way to get a lot of mushrooms fairly quickly. What I really wanted to talk about, though, is could this set a precedent for unique mobs for all undead mobs? And for most undead mobs, we have those unique drops. For the skeleton, of course, we have arrows and bones. For zombie, we have rotten flesh. And that's just the general basic, you know, those are the base mobs that are undead. But then we also have a few others. We have the drowned, which is a variation of the zombie. It drops copper, tridents, Nautilus shells, and rotten flesh. Quite a lot for one mob. And now we have the bogged, that drops mushrooms, poison arrows, and bones. And then we also have the stray that drops slowness arrows and bones as well. Then we have the husk, all right? The husk is an outlier because all it drops is rotten flesh. It doesn't drop anything else but rotten flesh. Now, it probably, you know, yes, okay, it could drop a potato or a carrot, maybe armor if it's wearing armor, but the drop that it drops most of the time, if not all the time, is rotten flesh. The husk needs a unique drop to match up with all of the other undead mobs. They all have unique drops and unique reasons why you would want to farm them, but nobody wants to farm husks because they don't do anything special. Now, the obvious choice for this is sand, right? The obvious choice for this is sand. Sand is an unrenewable resource that is very, very valuable for a couple of reasons. One, because you craft so much with it in the form of glass, but also, and also concrete, but also if you can farm sand, you don't have to tear up your deserts to get sand. And I really think that that's valuable in and of itself. So the obvious choice for a husk drop is sand. But if we want it to be more like the drowned doesn't drop a block. The drowned drops a new weapon. It also drops an ingot. So if we wanted to make it in line with the drowned, in the same way that the stray and the bogged are similar, they both drop a different type of arrow, what could the husk drop? Well, maybe the for an ingot, the husk could drop gold. Now, I know gold ingots can be easily farmed in the nether, but for those players who don't want to go to the nether, maybe this would be the gold farm for them in the overworld. For a husk farm in the desert. So husks dropping gold, you know, gold kind of fits in with that Badlands desert vibe. And I think that would be pretty good. But what about the weapon? The drowned drops the trident. Maybe the husk could drop the dagger. We've talked about the dagger in the past. Would be a very, very good weapon for that high DPS kind of style of fighting. And I feel like that is a weapon that would find a really good home in Minecraft. So maybe in a future update, I would like to see the drowned or the husk rather drop drops that are more similar to the drowned in the form of a new weapon and a ingot. And I would pick, if it was up to me, I would pick gold and I would pick the dagger. But yeah, the bogged presents some interesting things to the game. Again, shearing
the mushrooms off the bog, very counterintuitive. There's no reason why a new player or even us would think that we should do that without Mojang explicitly telling us that's how you do it. And again, maybe I need to do an episode one day on making Minecraft more intuitive. Man, that would be a huge series of episodes, but I think it needs to be talked about. But either way, I like the bogged and I like the direction they're taking it. And I think it's a great addition to Minecraft. So I want to hear what you guys have to say about that. That'll bring us to the end of this episode. Send me your questions, your comments, and ideas to digstraightdowncast@gmail.com. The music featured on this podcast was created by Miles Roxalot, and I've been your host, Rebel JC. Until next episode, keep digging straight down. I will see you at Bedrock.